This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Greetings, travelers. Oh my gosh, we have got so much going on at the end of the year. We have been just dealing with all the end of the year stuff. But one of the things that we were also waiting for was the premiere of the new season of Fallout, the TV show. As you know, Erica and I are huge fans of that and the games and all that. So what we decided to do was do a quick little deep dive into some of the cryptids from Fallout 76, because that's honestly where a lot of you folks joined us, was learning about cryptids and pop culture, and they got a big boost when Fallout came out with their West Virginia expansion, their Appalachia expansion, because, hey, they had to put monsters in, and cryptids make good monsters. Well, I'm going to do a couple of these short ones with some of the basic critters, and I'll start with a couple that a lot of people didn't realize were real cryptids. I mean, the famous ones, of course, are in there with Grafton Monster, Flatwoods Monster, and Mothman. They even have Endred Cold in the game. But they got into some obscure ones that I was pretty impressed with, because these are ones we've been writing about in the new book. So I'll give you a little taste of that with this as well. So buckle up, but our first one right out of the bat was one called the Beast of Beckley. Now, a lot of people point out that the Beast of Beckley in the game is this albino wolf that you have to hunt, and she's got some pups, and you have to kind of track her down in one of the missions, and it's kind of a fun adventure. But a lot of people are like, oh, wait, that's not the Beast of Beckley. The Beast of Beckley was this thing that the Cryptid Society published a story about. And it got famous because it's got this drawing sketch by the witness that has four eyes. And we'll go into that just a little bit. So here was just the quote from that. This is from that original writing to the National Cryptid Society, which published this on March 9th, 2019. From this person named Raven, and it says, for years there's been something stalking the woods surrounding the area where I grew up, and it does not like that it has been noticed. The first encounter was actually not by me, but my younger brother, sometime around 2001 or 2002, and my mother received a phone call from my grandmother around 8 one summer evening, asking her to come down and pick my brother up. Grandma lived just a minute's walk down the road from our house, easily within view of the front porch. Anyway, that's how it starts. And they talk about that she saw some creature that was black with yellow eyes, taller than our dad, who was 6'4", and was smiling at him with sharp teeth. And it was days before he slept again. That was the young boy who saw this. Now, this, again, Cryptid Society of America, our National Cryptid Society, they're kind of like a creepypasta. People send in stuff and all that. So this became the Beast of Beckley legend, and the Beast of Beckley. That actually goes back to Fire Co., which is just a little north of Beckley, about as far as you could go up into a holler, probably especially back around the 1930s when this story first started coming out. This story goes, somewhere in the night, this threat was wandering. According to a series of articles in the Raleigh Register, which was, you know, pretty much the newspaper of record in Beckley, they describe a monstrous predator killing livestock. Now, one witness in July 15th of 1936 described it as 10 feet long and powerful enough to snatch the heads off fully grown hogs. Now, what could that be? Well, according in that article to Dr. W.G. Moran, it said the feet were tiny but powerful, and they could rip up clumps of earth that weighed more than 50 pounds. Now, residents were concerned, and a columnist for the paper, though, he kind of poked fun at it. He was just like, the Fireco monster, he says it should be pitted up against this magical fly. Now, the fly, there's another story about that. There was the town called Odd, West Virginia. There was supposedly a big weird thing there where there was a fly that survived the winter. And then several people tried to kill it, and it kept surviving. And one of the things was that they tried to kill it with a glue trap, and the track stuck to it. So it had kind of a parasol. And that's just what his quote was, though. Plans are being made by the Odd Civic Betterment Company to have it attack the Fireco monster. The hope is the two will kill each other and get rid of the two beasts. So anyway, yeah, that's crazy. Now, there was a slate of dog killings and animal attacks in the region that there are encounters of in the newspapers of that time. Now, now here it is decades later, and everybody had kind of forgotten about the Fireco monster, but we still hear tales up in Wilbit Holler that people said some strange stuff is up there. And I don't know if it's still there. Some people just say it's a mountain lion. Other people say it could be the last gray wolf. Well, the last gray wolf ties into another story, and we'll talk about that right after the break.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
We're back. All right. So I talked about the last gray wolf. Well, that's because that ties into another creature, the Blue Devil. Now, this is a creature that is in Fallout 76 as well. And I think there was a Once in a Blue Moon update that added him. And basically, he's this kind of weird creature, was bred to be raced. But this one, the Blue Devil, has a white on it. And he wants the player to track it down and hunt it because it's the mothers of the Blue Devils. And yeah, it's just, you know, they were bred for racing and fighting before the war, and they continued after the bombs dropped. But yeah, we don't know why they're so big, but you know, it's Fallout. It's Fallout lore. It's probably been mutated on. It's probably been worked on. Who knows? But also in the game, there's the Middle Mountain Pit Stop, which is where this thing's been attacking its residents, and you have to protect it. They've got a machine that keeps away monsters, and for some reason it's not working, and so that's why you have to come in and help them out. That's part of the game, folks, part of the game. But is the Blue Devil real? Well, kinda. So 1939, back in our Wayback Machine, there's this triangle of hills between the mountains of the towns of Jumbo and Grassy Creek. Now, this is in Webster County, West Virginia. And it's about an hour and a half from Beckley. So I don't think they're 100% related, but they could be. But anyway, this occurs winter of 1939 through 1940. They basically do a series of encounters describe a bluish dog-like creature larger than a pony that prowled the area late at night and emitted a ghostly howl. According to most in Webster County, the animal was responsible for the deaths of a growing number of livestock over that period as it stalks. Eventually, the creature began making appearances in neighboring Randolph County, and they joined in the hunt for it and wound up making a reward for this thing totaled over $400, which in that time would be about $7,000 today. Webster County, we got to go a little bit of history about that. It was a huge industrial growth town in the early 20th century. And there was no railroad there, but then suddenly it boomed in and it became a boom town. It was early coal. It was early big natural resources. So all the way up through 1890s, early 1900s, and then things started drying up. So now the forests up there were old growth forests and they'd been well undisturbed for a long time. And so they were ideal for lumber companies. As a result, one of the country's largest and fastest growing industries in the period was timber. And so they moved into the area. And within a few decades, they overharvested and wiped it out. And so the industry collapsed, the residents were left unemployed, and that led to uncertainty. So the first reported sighting of the Blue Devil was by the town of Jumbo's resident, John Clevenger. He was a former lumber company employee and now a farmer. And he claimed that in December of 39, his much valued hunting dog had been attacked and killed by this beast. And shortly after, another farmer, Ernest Cougar, reported that his livestock had been spooked by for several nights and some wild animal came and attacked and killed one of his cattle and a sheep. Now, a Mrs. Cunlip, she reported hearing a wild, inhuman scream outside her home in Diana, which is just a few miles from Jumbo. And another person in Hacker Valley said he heard something that sounded like a panther. Now, these reports quickly draw outside attention, and hunters start coming from all over, and all the way as far as Charleston. And even a couple guys from New York City came down. None of them had any luck finding this monster of Webster County, though the New York City guys apparently had their hunting dogs on the trail of something, but they were forced to cut the chase short when their hunting dogs wouldn't go any further. They were terrified. So newspapers, particularly in Charleston, were really reporting on this and talking about the rising panic. This was in the Elkins Intermountain newspaper, called the beast a varmint, and it might represent proof positive that panthers are still in West Virginia heartlands. And then others, however, said that whatever this was is killing our livestock. We have to kill it. Well, several people came forward and said they killed it, hopefully to get the reward. A guy named Glenn Fisher, he was of Bill Fisher Hollow. Imagine that, a Fisher clan in a hollow. But anyway, he reported that the reward was offered because he had shot and killed the animal in December of 1939, but the body had vanished before he could collect it the following morning. Now, another coal miner named Elmer Corley, he killed something that the Webster County game warden said, this is not a coyote, but kind of looks like one. So he collected the reward and he assured it that the Blue Devil was dead. No further reports were issued, and that was it. He seemed to have done it. Well, a little bit later, the Webster Republican newspaper published a story detailing a very similar story that basically had happened four decades earlier. So in 1897, the residents of Webster County pursued in a search for what the paper claimed was the last known gray wolf in West Virginia. One night in January 1895, it was recounted that the wolf had killed 27 lambs belonging to Jacob Hammock in Randolph County. Shortly thereafter, the county courts show that Randolph and Webster offered a $100 reward. That would have been about $3,000 today. And then on New Year's Eve, 1897, the wolf killed five more sheep near his farm. And then banding together, all of his neighbors set off on a hunt for the animal in 2 feet of snow, stalking it over the course of several days before they finally killed it and brought it down. Now, what happened? As that account came out, just like it did for the Blue Devils, the sightings ended. It's done. We did it. So they said that's what the devils were. Just some wolf, some unknown dog, just something you guys, it's not a cryptid. It's not a creature. Why would you even think that? And that's why it disappeared. But then it comes back years later. Fallout 76 brings it back. So is it a cryptid? Are these monsters legend? Who knows? I'm just happy Fallout's bringing them back. We're writing about them in our next book. So it was kind of fun to stumble on these two that were right there for us. So hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you guys play the games. And I hope you enjoy our podcast, because we got a few more of these coming up. And I'm going to throw these in as quick as I can. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you, Patreon members, as always, for every buck you throw at us. It really helps. It keeps the lights on and keeps us digging down into these hollers and finding more stuff. And with that, when you're out there in the hills of West Virginia and you hear that strange howl on the hill, remember, it might be a cryptid, it might be the last wolf, or it might be a panther. Either way, go grab your pepperoni roll and run inside, and we'll see you on the other side.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.